The men retied Alavva's bonds after she had eaten her fill. She had been hoping they would relax a little and not require that anymore, but she supposed that she shouldn't keep her hopes up when she was among kidnappers. They left her ungagged, however. She settled back in and tried to endure the discomfort of needing to relieve herself. Eventually, that was resolved when they made another stop mid-morning. As the day wore on into late morning, they crested a small rise, and Alavva saw an expanse of water ahead of her, split by a narrow sliver of land down the middle. "What's that?" she wondered aloud. "Is that the sea?"
"Can't be," Kirast answered. "We're at too high elevation for the sea to be here. It must be a lake."
"You're both right in a way," Noldor said. "Those are the Rula Seas. They are lakes, truth be told. But the old name sticks. Palf Glen is on the other side of the South Rula Sea. We'll stay on this road and go right between the two seas, lakes. And we'll keep going until we come out on the other side. This is the Talons Road and goes straight on to Talonsworth. If we turned around and took the North Fork, we would eventually wind up in Nolnarn on the North Sea."
"Might there be traffic on the road then, if it's the main road to run between Talonsworth and Nolnarn?" Alavva asked.
"Fair chance." Noldor considered this. "I mean, most traffic coming up the Talons Road and trying to get to Nolnarn would probably leave the road and board a boat at the Rula Docks on the southeastern shore of the North Rula Sea. Still, there are plenty of people who don't like to travel by boat or who don't have money for the passage by water. So, yes, I think it's likely enough we'll meet some traffic coming the other way."
Noldor looked at Alavva, frowning. Then to Nilin.
"You know we'll have to untie her, right?"
Nilin had been studying something in his lap, but looked up as he was addressed.
"Yes, I know it," he sounded annoyed. "And, little girl, do you realize that you might gain your freedom if you answered our questions? I won't guarantee it. Your answers might require us to hold on to you until we reach the encampment, or you might go free. But guess what? Not answering our questions does guarantee that we take you all the way to the encampment."
Alavva kept her mouth shut. While Noldor and Kirast may be worth talking to, Nilin was trouble. As they descended into the depression, forming a shallow valley surrounding the lakes, a neck of land maintained itself above the surface of the water on either side. It slowly narrowed from what Alavva supposed to be a league wide at the start of where it was flanked by the seas on either side, to the width of several carts as it continued forward. Alavva and her disaffected escort detail saw fewer trees as they left the higher ground. When they were in line with the shore of the North Rula Sea, so that if Alavva looked directly to her left to see the line between land and water, she thought there must be some way to use this geography to escape if they were traveling the other direction. As it was, as the neck of land narrowed, she knew her prospects of escape at this time narrowed even more so.
"Ho, driver!" Nilin commanded abruptly.
Halman put a hand on Tunbloth's shoulder, who pulled the reins to stop the horses.
"Get out," Nilin said to Alavva.
"What?"
"I said get out of the wagon. Kirast, untie her. Little girl, you're going to walk. There's nowhere to go but forward and backward, and we can see you. Don't run, or we'll make you pay for it later at first opportunity. You wanted to be untied, why stop there? Stop freeloading off my horses and get out of the wagon. Oh, and make sure you keep up. You fall behind, you'll pay. You make us keep a close eye on you and tell you to speed up, you'll pay. Keep pace. I won't tell you again for free."
Nilin's menacing tone confirmed to Alavva that she was right not to tell him anything. Kirast untied her, and Alavva started walking behind the wagon. She quickly noticed that the wagon was going faster than it was natural for her to walk. Every few steps, she had to extend her stride and take a bouncing step or two in order to keep up. This would be fine, except for knowing that she would soon sweat and her cloak would become as uncomfortable as she had known it would when she left home. Unfortunately, she didn't see any way around it, so onward she went. Step, 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 jog, jog. Step, step. This annoyed her, but when she thought about it a little bit, it was a lot better than constantly jogging on.
A little cruel, don't you think? Noldor said to Nilin.
Cruel how? Nilin replied. She likes running. She was born for it. See? She's running all by herself, just for the fun of it. He laughed at his own joke, and at Alavva's expense at the same time. Halman piped up.
I concur. I concur. Nobody made her run when we found her. She told us she wasn't alone, but that was a lie. If she had an escort, then where is he? It's been nearly a day and a half, and nobody's showing up.
He laughed as well, and Nilin laughed louder than before. I don't know, Kirast said.
Look, ask her yourself, Nilin said. Ask her if she minds jogging a bit for her health.
He grinned sickeningly, and then met Alavva's eyes, showing a warning in his. Kirast shrugged, not seeing Nilin's menacing gaze aimed at Alavva.
All right. Alavva, do you mind jogging?
Alavva was smart enough to realize that she did not possess the freedom of speech when she was among these men. She shook her head to indicate that she didn't mind, realizing full well that that was the prescribed response, regardless of whether she truly minded or not. The wagon rumbled on, and the men ignored Alavva, talking among themselves. Traveling this neck of land, Alavva watched it narrowing while they came closer to what amounted to a causeway, crossing between the lakes. She wondered if Hronimon was still out there, but for some reason could not approach the disaffected men and their cart. Who knew with these Namord? It seemed there were so many things about them she had never imagined, because humankind had forgotten everything through the centuries. Was he unable to come close to horses? Or could it be that he was lying to Mother about protecting her? She didn't believe he had been lying, especially since she felt she could see his character, so she found it perplexing that he hadn't shown up to free her from her captors. Alavva knew Hronimon wanted to avoid the two of them being seen together. Any obvious cooperation between human and Namord would somehow be a signal to Sakali that they were on this mission. If he was following the disaffected, he must be keeping himself hidden on purpose. This thought made Alavva realize something else that she found unsettling. If Hronimon had been following along from the shadows as she accompanied Nilin and his group, then when they ventured between the ruler seas, the open surface of the water would deprive Hronimon of any means of staying hidden. With this thought, she turned and glanced behind her, uphill at the closest trees now quite some distance away. She thought she caught a glimpse of white, fleetingly exposed from behind the foliage. Could that be him? Could that be Hronimon? Alavva searched her mind for any excuse she could use that might get the party not to cross between the two lakes. She didn't want to go because then Hronimon would be exposed to the risk of discovery, not only of traveling with her but also of being a male Namord and traveling with her. Not wanting to be exposed or found out. That was what she needed. Is it wise for us to take this road? Alavva raised her voice so the men in the wagon could hear her. Nilin cocked his head and raised both eyebrows.
Did she really? What do you mean?
Noldor asked.
Well, I...
Alavva stalled, unsure. She glanced at Kirast.
I thought, since... You want to tell me about my business?
Nilin started. Realization dawned on Kirast's face.
No, she's right. Right about what?
We shouldn't travel this road. Our wagon and horses are problematic, Kirast let out.
Problematic?
Nilin turned his displeasure from Alavva to the younger man.
Problematic? First off, nobody is following us, clear from Lindenwelt to here. That would be completely unreasonable. Second, you told her that? Just how much did you tell her?
Not enough for me to know that you started from Lindenwelt, Alavva called out. You just told me that yourself. Nilin looked frustrated.
Watch it, girl. And Kirast, whose side are you on, anyway? She's right, Nil, Noldor coaxed. You're probably right, too. I bet nobody is still following us, but we don't know that for sure. And even if nobody is following us, there's the slim possibility that we'll meet somebody who knows these horses
and may wonder how we came to have them. It's better to go around. We'll go around the south Rulisi. It's not that much longer, and it gives us the chance to change our route on the way if we need to.
Nilan was red in the face. He had recognized the wisdom in going around.
Driver, you heard! Turn about! We'll take the Palf Road.
He turned his attention back to Olavva. He didn't look happy.
Little girl, you can stay out of my wagon for a good long while.
Whatever you say, boss, Halman said.
Halman and Tunbloth manipulated the reins to get the horses to turn gently to the right, then in a wider arc to the left in order to turn around. The group had to backtrack for nearly an hour in order to come to the Palf Road, then turned left towards the south. After another hour, they stopped for a break and a change in drivers, taking their normal security to ensure Olavva didn't run off. They resumed travel, and they soon found themselves once again close enough to the southern lake on its gently sloping shore that the border of trees allowed clear terrain some distance uphill from the road. They didn't stop for lunch, but ate in the wagon while traveling. Each driver had to turn away from the reins to have his lunch. They did not give Olavva her bag, nor the opportunity to request anything from it while she continued to walk behind. Instead, holding an apple towards the rear of the wagon as if to hand it to Olavva, Nilan said, "Here, free food!" Then he tossed it to his rear as he faced her, launching the apple forward and far ahead of the horses. It hit the ground where the earth was hard-packed, bouncing and rolling. By luck, one of the horses kicked it rather than trampling it, and the apple rolled down toward the water. Olavva chased after it to pick it up, but then she had to climb back uphill because the contours of the lakeshore made the road snake over a rise at that point. Wishing she hadn't had to expend extra energy to retrieve it, Olavva ate the now heavily bruised apple. As the road hugged the lakeshore, Olavva found herself step-step jogging behind the wagon again to keep up. As this continued, she gradually allowed more distance to build between herself and the wagon before she jogged to catch up again. She kept a careful eye on Nilan's mood to make sure she wouldn't run afoul. The more distracted he appeared, the more distance she allowed to build, so that she was not spending the entire time halfway between a walk and a jog. Once the distance was far enough that she felt she didn't mind the alternating pace, she held that consistent and continued to travel in longer intervals of jogging and walking. She asked for her water skin, which Kiras tossed to her without consulting Nilan. Then she drank water as she needed. She was able to refill it in moments when they were close enough to the lakeshore that she took the liberty to deviate from the road down to the water and scoop it up. Olavva had long ago removed her cloak in her discomfort and tossed it over one shoulder. As she jog-walked in the warmer weather, she was glad for the convenience that the wagon was carrying her bag and her staff for her, neither of which she needed at the moment, barring for food. She was also unhappy that it held them because it meant that if she did try to run off, she would have to sacrifice them to do so. Not to mention her knife, but more significantly, Delgan's flute. She tried to make the best of the situation. She couldn't do anything to ensure her freedom at the moment, and as she began to tire, she couldn't stop to rest. But she could try to enjoy the view. The sight of the water to her left kept her glancing over the south Rulisi, and she had the pleasure of watching seagulls and other birds. Occasionally she saw a fish disturb the surface of the water. She could also watch the mountains looming on the horizon. How far away were they? She couldn't tell for sure, but she wished she could share the view with Brelin. The mountains also made her think of the tune Fearon had sung over the campfire. Olavva wished she could hear Delgan's flute play its sweet tune like she did 2 days before, or make her poor attempt to play the tune herself. She took little comfort in knowing where the flute was. Nilan still must possess the instrument because he hadn't had any opportunity to sell it since yesterday. She dared not ask for it back, afraid that she might reveal that it had some connection to the Nemord. Besides, there was no chance that Nilan would return it to her anyway. If she wanted it back, she would have to bargain a deal for which she had no leverage to trade, or she would have to find the seemingly non-existent chink in his armor of vigilance over her. She started to sing to herself, reminding herself of the words to In the Cool Shade of the Mount.
Then she immediately stopped herself, afraid that she might give away any information about the flute. Breathing heavily, more out of anger than shortness of breath from exercise, she fumed at how she felt boxed in. Tearing up yet again since being caught up with these disaffected, she trotted along in silence, now upset that she was losing even the mood for the song.